I have eternal life. You are hearing that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And just like Mr. Goff has told you, it's wonderful to have eternal life. A lot of things in life I don't have. I don't have any big fancy cars, and we just live in a little story and a half with, I think, two or three bedrooms in it, and a lot of things we don't have. I don't have a John Deere ride-on lawnmower or anything like that. But you know what I do have? I have eternal life. When I go to sleep tonight, I can just, for a moment, thank God. Thank God for eternal life. It's wonderful. Do you have eternal life? That's what these meetings are all about. Our desire, our prayer, the prayers of the believers, the Christians here, is that you would join this. No, that's not. That is not their prayer. That their desire for you is that you would become a possessor of eternal life. Of all your life's possessions, they would like to have you having eternal life. Do you have it? Now we're going to read in towards the end of the Bible, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 11. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in the church. And this life is in religion. Is that what your Bible says? That's why we encourage people to bring their Bibles. If you don't have a Bible, get a Bible. Because it's very important for you to understand and to know that what is being said behind this pulpit is found in the Word of God. Because we wouldn't be the first people to stand behind a big wooden structure like this and tell you something that wasn't in the Word of God. And so we encourage you to read your Bible and check out what we say with the Word of God. It says, and this life is in His Son. That's where the life is. In His Son. It's not in religion. It's not in baptism. It's not in good works, eternal life. The Bible says, this life is in His Son, God's Son. And I want you to focus on verse 12. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not... Oh, you say, just a second. I have to call my attorney. I can't fathom the words there. The wording is too complicated for me. I don't understand that. Oh, really? It's pretty straightforward, isn't it? He that hath the Son, he that has the Son, has life. And he that doesn't have the Son doesn't have life. It's either or. And you don't need to engage an attorney. You don't have to hire a top-notch consultant to come and decipher what those words are saying. He that hath the Son, she that has the Son, has life. And he or she that doesn't have the Son of God doesn't have this eternal life. So it's pretty straightforward. I know the Bible might seem like a complicated book to you. If you want to find out where we came from, you can read in Genesis. If you want to know what's wrong with us, read in Romans chapter 3. If you want to know where we get off the track, read in Genesis 3. If you want to read about future events, read the book of the Revelation. But if you want to know how you can have eternal life, if that's why you're here tonight, how, sir, can I have the forgiveness of sins? How can I be absolutely sure I'm going to heaven? Not just fingers crossed, hoping so. I'd love to be sure. Well then, the message is so simple and so clear. He that has the Son has life, eternal life. And he that doesn't have the Son doesn't have eternal life. Now, do you have him or not? That's really what the question comes down to this evening. Do you personally have Christ or not? I said, well, I don't know. Oh, I said, I know if you had him, you'd know you had him. I'll tell you how clear it is. If somebody came to your house door and said, do you have electricity in this house? If they came and asked you if you had a candle or a match for a light, you wouldn't be quite so sure. You say, well, just a second, and you'd be pulling out this drawer, that drawer. Dear, we must have a candle here somewhere. I saw one the last birthday. There must be a candle. You might not be sure you have a candle. But if someone came to your door and asked you if you had electricity, you would say, do I have electricity? Definitely, I have electricity. Well, let me tell you, if you have the Son, it's just that clear. If you have Christ within, it's that clear. It's not like you have to go searching through your life's compartments and find out, do I or do I not? It's clear. I have a personal, precious moment to me. When I receive Christ into my life, He became a possession of mine. He that has the Son hath life. And he that doesn't have the Son doesn't have eternal life. So it's pretty straightforward to figure out what category you're in tonight. We are here for a purpose on this planet. And you've been hearing about God, a holy God. You know, of all the things that God is interested in this planet, He's not really too excited about whether a tourist, the first tourist that gets to go to the moon or into space, and how many millions he pays to get into space. That really doesn't create a lot of anxious thought in heaven. You know what the heartthrob of heaven is? I would love to have a relationship with that man on earth. I would love to have a personal relationship with that boy in Dunkerton. That's what he's concerned about. You see, sin, as you've been hearing, has broken, severed the relationship. You say, I hear about other people praying to God, but when I pray, it seems to be hitting the wall or the ceiling. It seems so shallow to me. You say, I just don't feel like there's a connection there. Well, it's not there. If you don't have the Son, the connection's not there. Sin has severed the connection. Sin pulled out the plug in the Garden of Eden and plunged the human race into darkness. Oh, but God, He wants to have that connection. And He made it possible. That's the whole story of Jesus. You celebrate His birth, Christmas. That's why I came. 1 Timothy 1 verse 15 says, this is a faithful saying and worthy to be accepted by everyone, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He didn't come to... Yes, He was a good teacher. And He was an ethical leader. And He was a great humanitarian. He was all of those things. But none of those things would ever rescue me from my sins. Christ died for my sins. My sins deserved a penalty. The penalty of death. That's what we're hearing. The wages of sin is death. And God so wants to have a relationship with you that He gave His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to take your penalty at the cross, to die for your sins. He had no sin of His own. Can you imagine anyone wanting to die for your sins? You say, well, who do you think I am? My sins aren't all that bad. Well, you think I'm a murderer? No, I don't think you're a murderer, but I know what's in my heart. And I'll tell you, there's lots of days I feel pretty sick about what's in my heart. Sin. And Christ died for those sins. Mr. Goff says he gets bunched up. That would bring the tears out of a rock-hard heart to think that someone loved me and died for my sins, for my blackness, for my evil things. That He loved me and He wanted me to be in heaven so much, He desires a personal relationship to such an extent that He would give His Son to die for the likes of me. Why wouldn't we shout, I love You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Father. Thank You, God, for sending Your Son for me. Do you thank Him today? You say, well, I'm a Christian. I go to a Christian church. you go to Australia quite a bit, but that doesn't make you an Australian. You sort of need to become a resident and have all the proper papers. Let me ask you, did you thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ today? Someone who has him inside and personally appreciates him, that's the activity of a Christian. That's what we do. We're so appreciative for Christ dying for our sins. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Now you are accumulating, I don't know how many years you've lived. As you go up and down the corridors of life, you're accumulating possessions. Just like you're in a shopping mall, at the grocery store, up one aisle, turn the corner, down the aisle. And I don't know whether you've ever thought of your life that way, but that's the way it comes to me. He that hath the Son hath life. Do you have the Son? All the going up and down the aisles that you have done in life, have you ever once picked up the Son and said, I will have him in my life? Is he a part of your possessions? The cart of life. Do you have him? You're making choices. It's like you go to the grocery store. You look at the shelves. You look what's available. You take the box down. You read the ingredients. You lower your glasses and you look at the fine print. And you put it back up. But you go down a little bit further and you pick it off the shelf, put it in the cart. Now, all the times you've heard about Christ, have you ever taken him personally and put him in your cart of life? You have a lot of stuff in that cart, don't you? I don't know what you're accumulating. Lots of people accumulate lots of different things. There are a lot of things to choose in life. But when you go through, I don't know whether you've done an inventory recently of all your possessions. Can you confidently affirm tonight, I know what you're saying, I hear you, man, and I have Christ. He that has the Son has life. And he that has not the Son of God hath not life. You go to a grocery store, you know there's good food and you know there's junk food. You know there's eggs and there's cheese and there's celery and there's lettuce and there's this and that. And you say that those are good, healthy foods. You need those. Those are staples in our diet. But you also know there are chips and chocolate bars and Pepsi and Coke. And sometimes you're tempted and you put that into your shopping cart. Our life is like a shopping cart. You go up one aisle, pushing your cart, and you turn 10 years of age. 12. You go through your teenage years. And then all of a sudden, you turn another corner, you're now 20. And you go down the aisle. You're 30. You're married. Or divorced. You have a child. 40. Your career. Promotions, your mortgage is being reduced only 7 more years. And you're going up and down the aisles of life, making choices. Oh, but Christ, take him when you were 10. Did you get him in the cart at 10, 15, 20, 25? 30, you've lived 30 years with no Christ, with no Son in your life. You're wondering what's wrong with your life? Why do other people seem contented? Why do other people have a smile on their face? And you're wondering what's wrong with me? Where did I take the wrong turn? No, what's happened? You put Christ back up on the shelf and you walked on by. And we're so glad you're here tonight. Now, what would really make us happy, and not just us, you know what would make heaven happy? If the choice of your heart tonight was, I will take Christ. I need the Son. I want eternal life. I want him. This is what I've been looking for. I didn't know. It wasn't really defined in my life. But now that I hear what you're saying, it totally makes sense. I want the Son. And I can tell you, when you have the Son, you have eternal life. And when you have eternal life, you can't lose it. You can lose your home. You can lose your job. You can lose your family. Tragedy. You can lose your health. But you cannot lose eternal life. You cannot lose a Son. Once you have Him, you've got Him forever. He'll never leave you. For the life of me, I don't understand why you wouldn't take Him tonight. Take Him tonight. Is your life that good that you want to live the rest of your life without Him? You say, no. If the truth were known, and if I was honest with you tonight, there are lots of nights I wake up in the middle of the night and I wonder, is this really what life is all about? Is there something more? Yes, friend, there is something more. A lot more. You need Christ. You need Christ. Now, I was reading the USA Today paper. Craig Wilson has a column, and I wrote down his words. The little story line was entitled, "Get Your Party Started Before the Party's Over." This is what Craig Wilson wrote. "Every now and then a news story will stop me cold. It happened the other day when I heard about some poor guy who was killed when a truckload of timber tipped over and fell on his car. Instantly killed. The classic case of 1 minute sharing morning coffee with your wife and the next minute you're dead." And I went on to read his article, this journalist. And then he started talking about when the party's over, which way would you like to die? He said, "I think I would like to die riding a camel in Morocco. There's something nicer about that. And when they look at my body, I'd like it to be suntanned." He says, it doesn't do anything for me to just see in my obituary, "Craig Wilson died at his home in Washington, D.C. after a long illness." Didn't think that was very exciting. So I wrote Craig Wilson, emailed him, because it was obvious that he was thinking about get your party started before the party's over. I wrote him, and I said, "Mr. Wilson, I would love to send you a book written by an investigative journalist, nationally recognized, who was an atheist, and in his attempt to prove that Christ was nothing more than a myth, he found out Christ died for his sins. I said, I'd love to send you that book, Craig." You know what Craig's response was? "Thanks, Peter, but no thanks. I'll pass. In the last 25 years, I've gotten tons of literature on Christ from readers. God bless them all. No thanks. I'll pass." You know how I felt when I read that? A man who's going up and down the aisles of life, and he says, he admits over 25 years as a journalist, that he's had tons of literature about Christ. And when I offer to send him a book, he says, "Thanks, but no thanks, I'll pass." You say that sends shivers up my spine. I would never say that. No? How many times have you passed by Christ? You look at the box. You take Christ down. Why did he come? He was born. He was laid in a manger. Easter, you go to church. You think about his death for a few minutes. Maybe you saw Mel Gibson's movie, The Passion. And you shook your head, wiped your eyes, and said, "Thanks, but no thanks, I'll pass." Didn't put him in. Didn't take him. You know when you go to a grocery store and you load up your cart, you just don't walk out the door and load that stuff into the trunk, do you? You say, no, there's one stop you make. It's called the cashier. To check out. When the cart of life is full, everyone goes through the checkout. And boy, if you don't have Christ in the cart, you'll not go to heaven.
He that has the Son has life. And he that doesn't have the Son of God has not life. It's black and white. You say, I don't like black and white. I like to operate in the gray zone, in the twilight zone. The mist and the fog of life. All the Bible doesn't allow for any fog or mist. It's crystal clear. You either have Christ or you don't have Christ. And when you arrive at the checkout, it doesn't matter what else you have in the cart. You might have been a successful sports fisherman. You might have all your awards and your medallions. You might have a baptismal certificate in your cart. That would never take you to heaven. You might have your church membership card. You might have your charitable donation receipts all piled up in your cart. Things that you gave to the Cancer Society and to the political parties. Doing your good thing as a citizen. But as you scrummage around at the checkout, do you have Christ? Do you have the Son? I can't come from the land of Anna Green Gables, Prince Edward Island. Lucy Maud Montgomery was a tremendous novelist. She wrote beautiful fiction, and since I've come here, people said I would love to go to PEI. I would love to explore Anna Green Gables. Yeah, it's been a textbook, a part of the curriculum in Japan since 1952. Lucy Maud Montgomery's books, Anna Green Gables. The red-haired girl, PEI, red soil, just a fiction character. Lucy Maud Montgomery became very famous for her novels. But Lucy Maud Montgomery arrived at the checkout of life. With all her fame, and with all her money. You know what the last entry? She died in Toronto, Canada, at a home that she called The Journey's End. Do you know what her final entry in her diary was? That's a journal. Here's what her last entry was. My life has been hell, hell, hell. Everything in the world I have lived for is gone. Oh God, forgive me. Nobody dreams what my awful position is. She died within days. It's one thing to be successful in life, but to arrive at the checkout and the last entry say, my life has been hell, hell, hell. Anything you could experience in life could never be as bad as what's after death if you don't have the Son. Oh, we're praying that you're not going to put Christ back up on the shelf for some more years because your life could come to an end. You're looking at him tonight, aren't you? You've seen the joy you couldn't miss. It's unmistakably clear when Mr. Goff is speaking to you. When he got, you know, after he got over the sin part and the wickedness and the dark background. And then when the smile broke out on his face, you said, wow, what that man has. You had the very same thing. It's a peace that having the Son produces. And you're here and you're thinking, you're having all those thoughts. You've been doing more thinking in this meeting tonight about Christ than you have in the last 6 months. It's like you've taken him down off the shelf now. And as we close this meeting, is there not anyone? Isn't there a teenager? A mom? A dad? A husband? A wife? No one here? That has considered Christ tonight? That he suffered? That he died for your sins? Out of love? That he paid sins dead and full, as you've heard? Are you going to leave and put him back up and say, not tonight? And turn another corner in the aisle of your life? Please don't arrive at the checkout without the Son in the cart. This is for eternity. Everything else in this life is for this life. You don't see armored Brinks vehicles behind the hearse. At least you don't in Canada. You know, you can't take any of that stuff with you. I'll tell you what you can take. When you arrive at the checkout,
you can take Christ with you and go to heaven. Wouldn't you like that? That assurance that Jesus is yours tonight. He is willing. He's ready. He's waiting. He's a perfect gentleman. He's not going to take a crowbar and pry into your probe and burst his way into your life. But he's there for your reception. You put him back up there. He doesn't want you to. He wants you to embrace him tonight without any reluctance. A wholehearted acceptance of the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And on the authority of the Word of God, I can tell you that he that has the Son has life. Life eternal. Don't miss it. Shall we pray? Our Father, we give thanks for the remedy. We're so familiar with the awful impact that sin has had in society and in our own lives. It lurks in the nooks and crannies of our own hearts. We see it, Lord. We see the effects in our lives and in the lives of those in the community and around the world. And apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, there's no solution. There is no remedy. We pray that those in the meeting tonight who have never accepted Christ personally as their Savior will stop refusing him, will stop giving him the cold shoulder, will stop turning him down, will stop resisting his overtures of love, and tonight, humbly, accept Christ personally as their Savior. And we thank thee that, as a result, having the Son is having eternal life. Part us with thy blessing. Bless richly, we pray, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.